Today is a very special episode. In our community special, we're going to take a look behind the scenes at Beanstalk and answer all of the most popular community questions that you've asked to see what we're all about.
We're going to cover everything from our backgrounds in crypto to the indicators that we use to the exit strategy that we have for this current bull run.
Welcome to the Beanpod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto, from beginner tips to expert picks. Use this as fuel for your investing journey, because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by Mudo Hub, the global leader in blockchain-based epigenetics and DNA research.
Over the last 8 years, Mudo has gained worldwide recognition by partnering with top-tier institutions like the King's College London, the University of Singapore, and Web3 giants like VeChain.
With over 70,000 tests conducted worldwide and millions of dollars in revenue, their AI-powered health coach provides personalized, actionable insights to help users take control of their wellness journey.
Users can even monetize their own health data through commercial and clinical research while helping fund groundbreaking discoveries.
If you're betting on DeSci and AI-driven health innovation this cycle, look no further than Mudo Hub and the DNA token.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Beanpod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today we have a very special episode. We're going to do a community special in which we've looked at all of the most popular questions that you guys have asked us in our Discord, on our socials, and we're going to answer them to give you a bit of a background on us, the way we trade, and what we're thinking about the current market.
This is a very important episode, especially for our community members, because we have built this community up over the past 4 or 5 years now. So when you guys ask questions, we really listen to you guys and what, you know, interests you, because you can actually learn a lot from our experience, because we've both been in the industry for almost 10 years now. And there's so much valuable insight from this episode that is really going to help you narrow down and print good money from your portfolios. Hopefully anybody who has been following us has been making money by listening to a lot of things we have been talking about. Not that any of it is ever financial advice, of course. It's just, you know, our opinions and our research. And in this episode, we're going to reveal, you know, exactly what we look for and why we do it.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start off with, it's a really simple question. People are asking about our backgrounds, where we got to be in the positions that we're in currently. How did we do it? What backgrounds did we come from? So I can start off by saying, you know, I went to university. I got a degree in, of course, business finance. Now, you might hear that and be like, okay, well, of course you became a financial influencer. But to be honest, like, most of the stuff I learned in university, it's not applicable to what we're doing today. But it did give me a good background into realizing, like, the power of investing and stuff like that. And, you know, when we met, we were pretty big stock investors. Crypto was still not super popular. So that's kind of how that part of it. And I came from a tech background. Like, after I graduated, I became an entrepreneur over 10 years ago. I started multiple apps and websites in the travel industry mostly, which was my full-time job for like 7 or 8 years before I kind of started getting into what I'm doing today. And honestly, it really happened organically. I watched a David Attenborough documentary about the future of like sustainable technology. I think I smoked a joint and I watched that and I was like, man, the future is definitely sustainable and green. So I was like, I've always been like a lurker on Twitter, you know, just like had a Twitter account, never posted. I was like, okay, maybe I'll make a Twitter account about sustainable and green investing. Seems like a good idea. This documentary made it clear that this is the way the world is moving. So I made the Twitter account, you know, started posting about green energy stocks, electric vehicles, Tesla, competitors to Tesla, stuff like that. Built up a little bit of a following there. And then that was the kind of the time where TikTok was becoming very popular. I remember listening to a few podcasts about how much money people were making so quickly with building up TikTok following. So I was like, okay, green investing, TikTok, let's give it a shot. And I made one video. I remember I showed it to you the other day. It was like from over 4 years ago. It's just like, if you missed out on Tesla, what are the top three electric vehicle company stocks that you should look at? And I just didn't think of anything. I posted it on TikTok. It went viral overnight. It had like 200,000 views. I woke up with 20,000 followers. And then I just kept posting TikToks from there, expanded to Instagram. We started our YouTube, started the Discord, and built the full Beanstalk business. So it was really a natural progression from getting the degree in business finance to kind of just always being around investing to dabbling in social media and then having that like viral aha moment, which kind of got it to where we are today. So I think the way that we work together, like I come from like that tech entrepreneur business background, which I feel like plays off other things that you kind of come from a bit of a different background.
Yeah, then my background is more the psychology, communication side of things in university, transitioned into corporate sales, did corporate sales for 4 years. So the corporate, I think like the psychology side of things comes into really good for the human dynamics of understanding the market patterns, you know, how investors are thinking, how they're going to be thinking. And then the corporate sales side of things kind of helps with like, you know, the long hours, the dedication to the work, you know, holding yourself responsible and ensuring like, you know, targets are met and all these things. So mm-hmm. we were able to bring that two together. And then obviously, yeah, having your tech background and the know-how from running businesses has mm-hmm. really helped. When it comes to the crypto side of things and how early we got in, I started to get into Bitcoin back in 2016. And it was just from, you know, a family member of mine who has done really well for himself. And he said, look, Bitcoin's gonna be the next big thing. I was making good money in corporate sales. I took $10,000 out of my bank account in cash, started jamming into these ATMs, had to create some weird wallet. So you have to imagine back in 2016 before all this stuff became, you know, more mainstream and whatnot. Even though, yes, I understand Bitcoin started in 2009. So it seems like, oh, you know, wasn't
you're
that
late. You're late.
You're late. Yeah, we weren't, what I, the thing is like how complicated all those processes were and trying to understand like, okay, I inserted this money. Now I have this weird thing on my, this weird like token address on my phone. How did that end up in there onto here? And then how do I get this off and into a bank account at some point?
Yeah.
Especially when it starts to rip, right? And then I started to dollar cost average into Ethereum in 2017. I just created a Coinbase account, did like the weekly purchase of like $200 a week. I think I accumulated like 10 of them or so at the time because the Ethereum was smart, like smart contracts, you know, automated, removing the middleman. This is like where I think the psychology and looking into the future type of thing, like that was like, okay, this is an aha moment. This is going to make sense.
Yeah.
So the complexity of it all was really difficult. So we thought, you know, maybe this would be a great way now that in 2020, when, you know, everybody's out of jobs and all these things, why not start creating educational content on this stuff that we found so difficult?
Yep.
Right? And then people can kind of follow along and just join us on our journey.
Yeah, for sure. I remember my early investors into the first startup that I launched that was successful. They were mining Bitcoin in the office back in 2014 or 2015. And I remember the office was always so hot because they had the Bitcoin miners running. And I didn't know what it was back then. And I remember asking them, and one of them, the one guy who was like really into it, kind of explained to me. I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. But I never really like actually looked into it. And then 2017 happened, the first like really major crypto bull run where the public took notice. And I was like, fuck, I can't believe I missed that. Like he told me about it. I saw it happening. But and that was when I started buying crypto, 2017, 2018. I was like, all right, like this it fits my MO of being like tech forward. Money, you know, with my business background, finance, I was like, man, I know I missed this first one, but like, I'm going to keep an eye on this. I'm going to make something out of this, right? So eventually it did come to fruition. And then here we are.
Yeah. But I do want to say like the beginning phases, if there's anybody who's like new or getting into the space now, a lot of mistakes were made. Like when I got into Bitcoin at like 2.5K or something like that, and I wrote it to 20K and then it started to come back down, I round tripped it. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it got back to like 20K again, I sold it.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm out, you know, because the thing is, I didn't fully understand it. Mm-hmm. So how have I applied that now and in today's world of crypto investing? It's like you need to fully understand what it is that you're holding and you need to have conviction. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a lot of other things we'll get into in terms of like token utility and all that stuff. But that conviction is like really necessary and understanding why you made the investment in the first place.
Yep.
So a lot of the stuff that we present is stuff that we've researched for, you know, some time and like, okay, this is good enough to present to our audience for them to do their own research.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really important. And the difficulty of how hard it was at the time to be purchasing Bitcoin and purchasing Ethereum and onboarding and offboarding, it was really complex. I think that also speaks to the more complicated or difficult something is, you should be doing it.
Yeah.
And I think we can apply that to BitTensor when we first brought it to our audience around $38 when it was, you know, at all-time lows. Yep. You go onto the website, there was no documentation. It was impossible to understand. Trying to stake it was a whole nother ball game, creating a weird wallet, transferring it, but pays off in the end. And now we're banking this off this thing, right? Yeah. So I think like the harder something is, you got to like really put the time in.
Because it's going to be hard at the start, and then eventually it's going to be easier. And then once it's easier, more people are going to do it, or more people are going to buy it, right? So if something's hard to buy, hard to get into the start, when it becomes easier, the floodgates open. But you want to be, as we always say, you want to be early to these things, right? So that's a good lesson to be learned from there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next question, which we always get, which is, which trading indicators do we use for like when we're looking at charts and when we're looking at, you know, crypto trading? So, I mean, if you follow us on socials and our Discord, on Twitter, like, we post a lot of charts and you can kind of see what indicators we use. I think in terms of indicators, I feel like less is more. I feel like you find a few that work for you and stick to them. Sometimes you see guys posting charts with just dozens of indicators and talking about these crazy things. And if it works for them, it works for them. But in general, if you're wondering like what we use, I feel like for me, it's less is more. So if you look at my charts, like, first of all, I'm using the EMAs, right? Moving averages. Yeah. So you pull up on TradingView, I have my Bitcoin charts on TradingView. You got 20, 50, 100, 200-day moving average. So these, it's just like they're lagging averages of where the price has been over those time frames. So whether it's 20-day, usually like the 100-day and the 200-day are good for like high time frame. And a lot of the times you'll see prices, like those will act as supports and resistance on prices, right? So like if there's a dump, it'll tap the 100-day moving average, right? And usually it'll reverse from there because that's where people, the reason that happens is that's where people set their buy orders, right? So these whales, they'll set their buy orders trailing on these averages so that when it hits it, they'll buy another $5 million worth of Bitcoin, whatever it is, right? So I think moving averages for me is like one of the first ones that I'll always use.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I plugged on the 20 and the 50 EMAs. And that thing, if you look at it, that was when I knew it was time to go all in. I posted this on X. It's like, look, the 20 just crossed the 50. The last four times that this has happened, this has sparked a massive bull run. And that was when Bitcoin was trading at like 22K. That's when, you know, we started to say, it's like, look, the bull run's starting. Let's trying to jam your money into this, into this industry.
Yeah, 100%. So the next thing I always do when you see my charts, I draw Fibonacci levels. So Fibonacci levels, it's this like crazy sequence of numbers that occurs naturally in nature. Like if you Google Fibonacci setting numbers, it's like branching in trees or arrangement of leaves on a stem or fruit sprouts in different fruits or flowers, right? It's really interesting how these numbers work. And I think it plays to psychological levels in trading. So the trick is with Fibonacci levels is you have to know where to draw it from. So for example, like if price is trading sideways in a downtrend for a while and then it pumps, then you draw it from like the bottom of that sideways, like the very bottom of that up to the top of the pump. And then the golden pocket for Fibonacci is the 618. So it's like a 61.8% retracement, which a lot of the times, you know, you see a big pump, you'll see a big sell-off. And when you're looking for an entry, if you miss the original pump, that 618 Fibonacci level can be a good entry. There's also a few different levels that you can draw with Fibonacci, but it just gives you a good like visual representation of where things can retrace to, or if things dump, where they can go back up to, right?
Right.
With anything, with no indicator is 100%. It's more just like giving yourself good visual representations of like where things are moving. And I really like that one because it's funny. You draw these magic lines, and sure enough, when the price goes back up or down to those lines, it usually bounces. It's crazy.
Pretty impressive, eh? And a lot of this stuff we're talking about right now is on Bitcoin specifically because it's been around the longest. Mm. There's the most amount of liquidity. That's where the most traders are. We don't really do this for small caps or even mid caps because there's just too much whale manipulation that can occur. For sure. And there's not enough volume and all these things. But mapping out and understand where Bitcoin or even Ethereum is headed can give you a real indicator of what the rest of the market's possibly going to do. Mm-hmm. So another thing we've been using is High Block Capital for the heat maps. That can show you where the liquidation levels are. So when you see like this huge cluster of this bright yellow coloring, it'll be like next to a certain number. So if there's a lot of shorts piling in, then the liquidation levels will be at a higher price and vice versa. So we can see, and when these liquidations happen, these exchanges are banking because these degens are coming in with $1,000, you know, 1,000x leverage. And then you have a million of these people doing it. The exchange sees exactly where the liquidation levels are and just sucks it away. They make billions. You guys lose everything.
Yep.
But it really shows. It's like, okay, we know that Bitcoin's going to start heading to this level at some point because there's $1 billion in liquidation sitting there. So that's been really handy.
Yeah, I do like that. High Block Capital is pretty sweet. Another thing you'll often see on the charts that I post for Bitcoin are parallel channels. I think parallel channels can be very, very powerful, both ascending and descending channels. And in order to identify those, you just try to find, again, from the top of the start of like a price movement or a trend that you can, you know, visually see. and you find the top of the trend and then maybe the bottom of a trend and then draw, it's a tool in TradingView, you draw a parallel channel. Now, what you're looking for here is like multiple hit points on the line. So if you can find a trend line, whether it be an ascending trend line or a descending trend line, and it has like two or three hit points on one side, or you can draw a channel, and if it has one hit point on the other side, it hasn't been validated yet. But a lot of the times what I do is I'll draw the channel kind of before it's officially validated and then wait to see if it does bounce or top at the other side of the channel. Then you've got yourself a valid channel. And honestly, it happens so often. There's always a channel formed, whether it be on Bitcoin or large cap altcoins. And that, again, it gives you a really good visual representation, because once you have the channel drawn, when the price starts to break out of that channel, it can signal a large pump is coming. Yeah. Or if it breaks down out of a channel, it could potentially see a huge drop. And if you look at the history of Bitcoin, you could always find these channels. And when it does break out and maybe retest the channel either way, then huge price movements come. So I always make sure to have a channel just for a visual aid.
So that's some of the objective, I think, indicators that we use. I'm not sure if you have any more objective ones.
No, that's probably pretty good.
So another one that, as we start to like lean into more of the subjective stuff, is like the fear and greed index. You know, anytime that thing reaches like high 90s, it's okay, we're definitely going to see a retrace soon. Mm. Anytime it kind of gets below like 40 or 30, that's an excellent time to buy. So using that fear and greed on CoinMarketCap or going to fearandgreedindex.com, whatever it is, super helpful. Also, just like using Twitter or X to kind of see what your timeline looks like. If people are just like scared and there's negative comments and stuff, that's also a really good time to purchase. I think when our friends and, you know, retail start to ask us questions about crypto, that's also typically a top.
Uh-huh.
So if you can pay attention to your surroundings a little bit, and when you feel the fear, good time to buy. When you feel the excitedness around the industry, that's a good time to maybe, you know, take some profits.
And the number one undefeated best trading indicator of all time is Crypto Capo.
Yeah.
Il Capo of crypto on Twitter and on Telegram. This guy is the inverse of all crypto trading. If he's bullish and he says he's buying crypto, things are about to go down.
Yeah.
And when he's bearish, things are about to go up. It is undefeated. It is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable
how accurate. He was bearish all the way from 15K to 90K. Flipped bullish at the top.
Yeah.
Then we started dumping. It's unbelievable. So we think that he must be paid by the exchanges, or maybe he is the exchanges that they just created this inverse thing so people follow his trades and then get liquidated.
Yeah.
But it's actually insane how accurate of an inverse indicator Capo is. We post about it all the time on socials. We're like, ah, Capo's bullish. We're fucked.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, exactly. RIP AI coins. So that's some of the trading indicators that we look at. And we can go a little bit more into, like, you know, for specific altcoins and whatnot. We've gotten a lot better, like looking at tokenomics, understanding, you know, the vesting schedules and all those things. But that might be a little bit too nitty gritty.
Yeah. So the last question that we want to address today was, we get it asked all the time. What do you think about the market? What's your take on the current bull run? What is your exit strategy for the current crypto bull run? And we've talked about this. You know, we do market update episodes every month or two, every couple months. And I think we're pretty good at like keeping our conviction, right? So my current thoughts on the market line up with the prediction we made like almost a year ago, right? It's like, okay, we're sitting here in Q1 2025. Trump is the president. Crypto has these bullish tailwinds. But when you look at the pattern of the last 2 years, I feel like this year is again going to follow the same pattern, which means pretty good in Q1, Q2, maybe chop. Through the summer, I feel like things are going to cool off again. Yeah. And I feel like we do still get that final blow off top for both the stock market and the crypto market in Q4 of 2025. I feel like Trump is going to say enough things with his executive orders and a bunch of things. He's come out and said that he has price targets for Bitcoin. He sees it as like a new stock market for him. So I think that they're going to continue to pump the crypto market through the first part of his term, the first year. I think maybe things are going to come back to reality through the mid. And it's like, okay, this is actually going to take a lot of work to do all these things that he's going to say. And I think people are going to get over that.
Yeah.
But for the first like 6 to 12 months of his term, I don't see a reason to be bearish. So for me, the exit strategy is, again, like continue in altcoins in 2025. Look for that euphoric blow off top where you're starting to see celebrities post about it and it's on all the talk shows. probably towards the end of 2025. And at that point, like, what is my strategy? It's not sell everything. It's like, okay, start to rebalance, maybe move more funds into Bitcoin. You know what I mean? Like, in the, when things start to really get crazy and things start to sell off, they, that's when you want to move into fiat and into Bitcoin, into the bear market, I think.
Yeah, I'm never going to be fully out. No. Like, there's just too many opportunities out there, from pre-sales to, you know, tailwinds from headlines and whatnot. So it's going to be depend on the project for me. You know, we're both receiving 18% on our Tau. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the intersection of blockchain and AI, I see that being an absolute massive winner. So I don't, even this cycle, I don't think I'm going to be like, I'm just going to keep accumulating.
Yeah.
You know, the same way that I probably should have done with Bitcoin when I first bought it in 2016.
Yeah.
I should have just kept holding it. This is the most pro crypto administration we've ever seen. Look at what Bitcoin has done in any of the other halving years, post halving years, when it's been an anti crypto president. Mm-hmm. And look how it's performed. Look at the global liquidity cycles. Look at, like, just look at all these things. So I'll be doing some scaling out throughout the year, because if you've been following us, you know that we've been bullish ever since the bottom of the bear market. So we've been accumulating at really low prices as it is. So mm-hmm. We're already up a lot in most of our positions. So any sort of small dip, whatever, it's kind of whatever, because as you mentioned in our previous predictions episode, we kind of saw, like, look, it's the end of 2025, beginning of 2026 is kind of when we see that the actual top of mm-hmm. this particular cycle.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing's like in stone,
no,
but
for sure
I'm definitely gonna be taking profits throughout the year.
Yeah, I think you can almost kind of look at the current Trump presidency 4 years as like the quarters of the years how the crypto cycles have gone. So the Bitcoin bull market is every 4 years, right? It's a 4 year cycle. We have a 4 year presidential term here. The start of his term is like a bull market, and then if you look at how the years of crypto have gone over the past few years, the start of the year is usually good, the middle two quarters are not so good, and the last quarter is good. So I think you can kind of make a prediction, like the first year of Trump's presidency is going to be bullish for crypto. Maybe the middle 2 years, not so good. But then the fourth year, when the next bull market cycle coming back and he's gone through his 4 years of whatever the hell he's going to do, that's probably going to be a return to bullish for crypto and Bitcoin. So I think if you want a long-term prediction, that would be it. But yeah, I think 2025 for us, it's still looking good for crypto.
Absolutely. So that's our background in crypto, some of the trading indicators that we use, and some exit strategies on the current bull run.
Yep. Awesome. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Make sure you tune into the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.